This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we're going to be hearing from Natalie Defee Mendick, who's going to be here to talk about her USDF Connection magazine article, Clinic on Clinics. And we'll also have part one of a three-part series with the USEF Young Horse Coach, Christine Traurig. That's all coming up later on in the program. But first, we'd like to remind you that the views of guests and the host of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. And before we hear from our first guest this week, we'd also like to let you know that on July 13th, the USDF launched a new digital publication, Your Dressage, through the free USDF app, the USDF Your Dressage Connection. This new publication features human interest stories from participants throughout the dressage community and is free to everyone. Just download the USDF app to access Your Dressage today, and if you're interested in submitting your story for possible inclusion in Your Dressage, please contact us at epubs@usdf.org. There will be a link in the show notes accompanying this episode. And now, our first guest this week is Natalie Defee Mendick, who is here to tell us about the USDF Connection magazine article, Clinic on Clinics. Welcome to the program, Natalie.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
So we're going to talk about your article, Clinic on Clinics. Now, this, as I understand it, is really advising people how to choose a clinic, because nowadays there are so many clinics, so many trainers out there offering clinics, aren't there?
Yes, that's right. And this is a question that pretty much every rider encounters at some point or another. It's a decision whether they want to participate in a clinic as an auditor or as a rider.
Well, I suppose we should back up a little bit from there, Natalie, as to how you choose which clinicians that you want to listen to or take part in their clinics with, because there are so many, and I suppose there's just some basic things there to ask yourself before you start.
That's right. So for this article, I interviewed a variety of professionals, and pretty much all of them had the same advice. So there's a few key points to consider. One of them is your budget. So you want to be sure that you don't blow your budget on your clinic. You want to be able to have time to, the funds to participate with your regular instructor as well. And in addition, you want to look for someone that has a similar philosophy and training system to your own. So this will enhance your regular training and your work that you're doing at home. And you also want to think about the continuity of the clinician. So ideal would be someone that you will see again who will return to your area and you can participate in another clinic.
Well, that's a very good point, isn't it? Because clinicians can sort of do the rounds on a regularly and regionally based, and then some come internationally to your area once every few years, perhaps. But it's someone that you look up to and you think, oh, that would be maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So do you go to those as well? Is that what you would advise, Natalie? Or would you, if you had a restricted budget, then just limit it to the ones that you're going to see regularly?
Well, the thing to consider is your own needs and the level that you're riding at, the level that your horse is at. So for some riders, that may be a good choice. For other riders, they may need to stick with the bigger isn't always better philosophy. So you want to be pushed outside of your comfort level, but you don't want to be completely overwhelmed. So you need to research the clinician that you're thinking about working with. And especially with the internet now, that's a really viable option. So have a look at how that clinician works and speak with trusted colleagues and your own instructor in making your decisions.
Well, that, of course, is sound advice to start off with. Then you've made your choice. Now, the next thing is it someone you're going to see regularly that you maybe prefer not to audit, but to actually be a rider?
Right, that's correct. So with the variety of trainers that I spoke with, all of them across the board recommend auditing first if possible before you become a rider. And that way that you have an idea if this clinician is a right fit for you. And in addition, if you do choose to ride, that you understand how the clinician sets up their lessons and what kind of system they're working with. That way that you make the most out of your ride. You don't come just partially prepared. You're as prepared as possible for your lesson.
So you may be a rider, an amateur perhaps with one horse, or a professional with multiple horses. So you get to choose then which horse that you take depending on the level and what you need to take out of that clinic. Talk us through that. If you only have maybe one horse and your expectations, if you haven't had the opportunity, say, to audit before you actually go and ride there with them.
Right. So whether you're a professional or an amateur, one of the key things to keep in mind is to be realistic about the clinic. So all of our experts agree that if you come away with one or two aha moments, a good gem that you can take home with you, then that's really a good clinic. You're not going to have a complete overhaul in 45 minutes. So you want to arrive open-minded. You want to be a good student and be ready to ask questions. And also to speak up if there's something that you don't understand or if you feel like your horse is overwhelmed. So be open-minded, be ready to learn, but also be an advocate for yourself and your horse.
And no doubt there'll be maybe some nerves if you're an amateur rider, particularly going to your first clinic as a rider. What sort of advice did they give for those first-time clinicians, Natalie?
So you want to be as prepared as possible. And one thing to keep in mind is that you and your horse both need to be physically fit enough to work for a 45-minute ride. So that's one thing to keep in mind is that your fitness level is up to par. And you also want to be mentally ready. And one of the best ways that you can do this is to understand the terminology, understand the different techniques that you might be utilized, and to work together with your regular instructor to prepare for the clinic, just like you would for anything else that you're preparing for with your horse.
And then I suppose you would let your regular trainer know that you're going to a new clinician who's coming regularly, that there should be some, I guess, some sort of understanding and not professional jealousy that you are going to watch someone else to advance your knowledge and your skills.
Indeed, that's correct. And ideal is if your regular trainer can come with you to the clinic and audit the clinic as well. So that way what you're working on with the clinician can carry over at home too.
Right. Now, who were the riders that you were talking to get their take on attending clinics and their advice, Natalie?
So I interviewed Chris Hickey. He's a double gold medalist from Pan Am Games, and he's also the co-chair for the USDF Instructors and Trainers Committee. And also Reese Koffler-Stanfield. She's a gold medalist and USDF certified instructor. Beth Sproul Hansen, also a gold medalist, certified instructor and L program graduate. Gwen Kawaloa, she's a gold medalist, certified instructor and a small R judge. And Sally Davenport, she's an FEI steward and USCF Large R Technical Delegate.
That was a lot of very broad and interesting information, I'm sure, that you got back from that selection of riders. Now, give us an idea, Natalie, of what the biggest takeaways for them, the biggest messages that they would give to our members and what they should be doing to pick that right clinic for them as an auditor or as a rider.
Right. So, it was wonderful that everyone gave advice that was really in line with one another. So there was really a lot of themes that ran through the advice from the different interviewees. And pretty much they say that really what you have to look for is the right fit for you. The right fit for one rider may not be the right fit for another rider. And if you're not sure, audit first. You want to be sure to, do your homework beforehand, be prepared. understand what you might be facing at the clinic. And another thing to bear in mind is the difference between a clinic and a symposia. So with the clinic, you'll be looking at basically what is a weekend or day of private lessons that are designed to benefit the horse and rider. And so when you're at a clinic, auditors may or may not be welcome. And if auditors are welcome, it can be set up in different ways. It may be free, or they may need to pay to audit. They may be invited to ask questions, or they may not. And at the clinic, if riders are invited to ask questions, it's usually during the break, because during the lesson, the rider is the one that's paying to be there and will have the undivided attention of the instructor. So a clinic is a good time to work on personal things that you and your horse are working with, whereas a symposium, is designed as an educational event to benefit the auditors. So the horse and riders that are chosen are basically demonstration riders and horses, and they may or may not be able to work on something that they would like to work on, because the symposium should have a theme, and it's designed to benefit those that are spectating. They can ask questions, and there's a back and forth between the spectators / auditors and the clinicians.
And then finally, afterwards, Natalie, would you recommend that the rider then goes back to their trainer and explains what those takeaways were, to talk about how she's going to apply them, maybe they're going to apply them to their training and in conjunction with their regular trainer?
Yes, that would be ideal. And, you know, as we were talking about earlier, if the regular instructor is present at the clinic, that's even, you know, that's the perfect scenario. And, you know, when you're at a clinic, when you arrive and you introduce yourself to the clinician, you can talk about things that you'd like to work on. You know, you'll tell the clinician, you know, where you are with your training, how old your horse is, what kind of experience both of you have, and if there's some questions or issues that you'd like to touch on, you can let the clinician know at the beginning of your ride.
Very good advice. Anything else that you would like to add, Natalie, that our members would find helpful about choosing the right clinic?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind, whether you're riding in a clinic or a symposium or you're auditing, is to be as professional as possible. And if you're auditing, not to judge the person that's riding, because everybody's out there doing their best. So you want to, be polite to the organizers, the volunteers. You want to take care of the host facility that you're at. And if you are riding, you want to be really organized, get your paperwork in on time, have a clear line of communication with the organizer, just so that everything runs smoothly, and present yourself and your horse as professionally as possible. Be turned out like you are attending a show without your show attire, but with clinic attire instead. And be really as open-minded and professional as you can be.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much indeed, Natalie, for that explanation of your article, Clinic on Clinics, which is in the USDF Connection magazine. And thank you so much for coming on the program, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
And next in our training segment, we'll hear part one of a 3-part series with the US Equestrian Federation's young horse coach, Christine Traurig. In this episode, Christine talks about how she became involved with training young horses and gives advice to young dressage trainers. This excerpt is taken from the 2016 USDF-USEF Young Rider Graduate Program.
My name is Christine Traurig. I am the national coach for the development of the young horses, the very young ones. And I would like to say that I'm very proud to have that position, and I would like to tell you a little bit why. I was born and raised in Germany on a little farm. My father was a breeder. My family loved horses, and I can tell you that my mother, would tell you, before I could walk, I would make sure I would could crawl into a horse's stall. So that basically was my destiny, the horses. And I was always, since I was a little kid, very interested in watching young horses develop. We bred them, so I watched them being born. We raised them. We halter broke them, we handled them, we took them to breed registry shows, we took them to suitability classes, and then of course at the end of the day, it was also a way for our farm to make money. So that then got me very interested in the physical development of physical development of the horse, which means when you want to develop your young horse and also compete it later, or if you, like in my case, our family needed to sell the young horses in order for the farm to sustain, it was very important that the horse was developed correctly, meaning that it was safe, it was trusting, it was rideable, and that it had good gaits. Most of the horses that we produced on our farm were sold no later than 5 years old. So, as you can very well imagine, the more beautiful they moved, the more beautiful they looked, the more beautiful and well-developed they were in their muscle tone, the better chance of a good profit you had. Yeah, and that is something that I basically grew up with. It might sound very funny to you, but I will tell you honestly, I was 20 years old, okay, and I had 20 years old, and I had not yet ridden a third level test. But I can tell you, I could make horses supple, rideable, and they would move. Okay, so I basically was introduced at that point already to the scale of training, which we all follow in the development of our horses, and also when you guys school your horse for competition. I just didn't know it that I was that time. All of that came a little later in life for me, much later, and I'm greatly appreciative of all the fantastic instructions that I have had, which at this point I would like to say to all of you, never stop being a student. Never. What I see in this country, and I know I'm supposed to talk about the Young Horse Program, but I need to say it also for you guys. Never stop being a student. I've been a student all my life. All my life. Often in this country it happens, the young people, they graduate from the young rider career, and then they're kind of like, okay, now what? Now what? What do I do now? What do I do now? And way too often do these young people already hang out their shingle and start teaching and training. I can only advise you that be a student, stay a student for the longest time, find a good mentor and stick with it. Be loyal and hardworking, and stick with good instruction and information, and also in a business, training business, whatever their priority are in that particular training business, and really find an example in the business that the barn is well run, that horsemanship is applied to the highest of standard. I have always been lucky that I was associated with mentors that also operated a business all the way around, from horsemanship towards their horses, service towards clients, and just the way the whole business was run in all aspects. And I can only advise you to really make sure that you don't go out on your own too early, but always be associated with a good teacher and a great role model. Talking about the Young Horse Program, just like you are sitting here now, being the young people that we all, the USDF and the USEF, care so much about, that you mature and develop to become the next generation of our great horsemen and horsewomen. Just as much do we have to concentrate on the young horses. If the future is in our children, as we always hear when all the politicians talk, yeah, the horses are children too. It is very important that in our sport and in our industry, we have the opportunity and seek the opportunity to breed quality horses and to develop them. The Young Horse Program is not only about who makes it to Chicago and who makes it to the World Breeding Championships in Verden. The Young Horse Program is very much also developed to really make sure that there is guidance, towards the producing of a quality athlete for our sport and for our industry. It starts with the breeding, that breeders seek to breed the best horse possible. When my father bred horses, we always were dreaming about breeding an Alaric, or a Rembrandt, or a Granat. That was always our dream goal. And that is what we always did our research for. What mare, what stallion should be put together to have the best possible product? That takes education. That is not a lottery. You still need to get lucky, but it takes research and education. Then we were always dreaming about breeding the best horse. They don't all go to the Olympics. I said that also when I gave this talk in Chicago at the riders' meeting. They don't. But if we don't have the goal to breed the best, develop the best, produce the best, then we will always be mediocre, right? So it is very important as you grow up that you learn to develop a young horse so that you then can also assess what category that young horse would fall into. Like I said, not each one of them is going to be an international Grand Prix horse, but our sport is for a lot of people. It is for the amateur of all ages. Yeah, it is for kids, little kids to start out with. Yeah, so we have to also then make sure that you become educated enough as to where you then can assess what category a horse can develop into. That is also part of the education. That is also part of what this Young Horse Program is to bring as a message to all people in this country that are developing horses. When I, of course, speak of the Young Horse Program with the ideal goal, of course, do I love to go to Chicago and see the top horses in our country perform there? Yes. Do I love to go to the World Breeding Championships and see horses from the United States compete there? Of course. And if you ever have the opportunity to go and watch, you will be blown away by the quality of horses that are being bred and developed internationally. Blown away. The average alone is unbelievable, and it's really making a deep impression when you go watch. Also, I can only advise you, always, we have media available. Yeah, seek to watch these videos of these quality horses when they're performing. When I was in Verden this last summer, I have to say, when I watched Dorothy Schneider compete Szechuan, there were more spectators around the arena for the Young Horse Program than there was in the neighboring dressage arena for the Grand Prix. You could hear a needle drop. It was breathtaking. So as you grow up as young horse women and men, make sure that you always set your standard high. Seek quality in horses, seek quality in training, and seek quality in mentorship.
And we'll be continuing this series in future episodes of the USDF official podcast. And finally, a reminder that registration for the 2016 Adequan USDF Annual Convention in St. Louis is live at usdf.org/convention. The annual convention is a great way to take advantage of networking opportunities, forums, and roundtable discussions. Experience educational events geared towards improving the mind and body of horse and rider, and celebrate at the Salute Gala and Annual Awards Banquet. We'll put a direct link to the website in the show notes accompanying this episode. And please stay tuned as we start a new summer podcast schedule here on the USDF Official Podcast. We'll be posting episodes every other week through the summer. And you can subscribe to this free on iTunes or Stitcher and download the podcast to any podcast app on your smartphone or mobile device. You can also follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook for alerts when new episodes are available. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.